Nobody ever outgrows scripture. The book widens and deepens with our year. Within the scripture, there is a balm for every wound, a salve for every soul. The Bible in the memory is better than the Bible in the bookcase. Charles Spurgeon. Welcome to Thoughts of a Young Christian podcast, where we discuss everything profitable for the teaching, for the reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that we can all be equipped for every good work. And we're live. What's up, guys? Again, welcome to the Thoughts of a Young Christian podcast. So I'll just get into it. So today our topic is titled, Am I Really a Christian? Am I Really a Christian? I believe as believers, we sometimes have doubts. Even the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. And I believe as Christians, we sometimes ask ourselves, are we truly Christians? Are we truly believers? Are we truly saved? And are we truly headed for heaven? So today I'll be touching a little bit on what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. And a little bit of assurance of those who have doubts if they're truly Christians, but are truly saved and are sanctified and are walking in the path of righteousness. There will be a part where we will mention and give scripture which encourages us to strive and fight for our faith. So without further ado, I'll just explain what my topic is mainly based on. It's mainly based on 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. So 2 Corinthians 13 says, test yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. So as Christians here, we are being told to test ourselves. We need to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Because if we are in the faith, we should recognize that Christ is in us. So if he is in us, it should show by the way we live. So we should show that Christ is in us exactly. So I'll dig right into it. What are the signs of a true Christian? What are the signs to show that this person is a true Christian? By the way, this is not an exhaustive list. These are just a few of the signs, a few of the things that you can look and see that if I am not doing this, I should strive for. Or if I am doing this, I am on the right path. I am maturing as a Christian. So the first one is, a true Christian seeks fellowship with the Father and the Son. Truly fellowship with the Father and the Son. So we see this in 1 John 1, verse 3, 5, and 6. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. And we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what's basically saying is, if we are true Christians, we should be walking in the light, which means that we are in fellowship with them. So the way our lives are, the way we live, the actions we do, the things we say, the things we do, prove that we are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. The second one is, a true Christian loves the brethren. By the brethren, we mean a true Christian loves his fellow believers, his fellow Christians. 1 John 2 verse 9 says, he who says he is in light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So a true test of our faith is that we love our fellow Christians. So those who hate their fellow brother are not Christian, as it says, they are in darkness and they are lying to themselves. So a true test of faith is that we love our fellow believers. We love our fellow believers. And how do we show that love? We show it by helping them when they need, praying for them, praying with them, encouraging them, and also correcting them when they are wrong, because we are not perfect. We lose our way. By correcting them when they are wrong and accepting correction also when we are wrong. So that's how we show love to our fellow brothers. And we also share the word, share the gospel with our fellow brothers. The next point is, a true Christian does not love the world's values. 1 John 2 verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father abides in him forever. So, here is a clear thing. Love. We do not love the world. This is, as John MacArthur calls it, the love that God hates. Loving the things that are not God. Loving pleasure, loving enjoyment, loving sexual immorality, loving money, loving people, loving self, and loving things that are temporary, worldly things. We prove to be Christians because we do not love those things. This does not mean that don't work to get money, no. This does not mean that don't take care of yourself, no. It's saying these things should not be above God. When we put these things on a pedestal where God is supposed to be, we are loving them more than God, which means that it's also idolatry. That's what he's basically saying. Do not be idolaters, because we put so much value in things nowadays. We have so many people worshipping celebrities, worshipping football stars, worshipping football itself. We have so many people worshipping themselves. Our culture is constantly trying to make you worship yourself with this love yourself culture, this love money culture, love your body culture. It's basically forcing you to idolize yourself. That's why there's so many advertisements. That's the purpose of advertisements, to make sure that you love these things. Look at the Kardashians. They basically advertise body. This thing will make you look better. This thing will make you look better. And every month they're dropping something, which is basically saying to you, you should love yourself. And yet they keep trying to make you change, which also shows you that you cannot even love yourself enough to satisfy yourself. So basically the Bible is saying, do not love yourself. Do you entice yourself with the flesh, with alcohol, drugs, and food also? Do you curse? Do you get so much enrolled by the latest fads in fashion? Or do you intentionally lust with your eyes after women on the streets, or pornography, or on social media, with this half-naked social media? Are you a prideful person, bragging about how good you are in different areas of your life? Do you have these things? If you have these things, you might not be a true Christian. So you should work on these things so that you know that you are a true Christian. So work on repenting from these things. Work on fleeing from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and lust of the pride of the person, pride. Next point is, a true Christian lives in continual sanctification and practical righteousness. Basically, we read 1 John 29. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So basically, here we hear that as Christians, we are not perfect. If I remember, R.C. Sproul says, we are half holy and half sinful. Not fully, simultaneously holy and simultaneously sinful. Meaning that, yes, we have been sanctified. We have been justified by Christ, but we are still sinful inside. So we still have those things, those attributes to fight, those attributes to lose. That's why it says Christ is there ready to forgive us if we are faithful to confess our sins to him. This is the main point. Repentance. If we are willing to repent our sins, he is willing to forgive us. So as Christians, another sign of a Christian is he is person who is in continual sanctification. Basically, he is a repenting person. He is always seeking guidance, always seeking to be forgiven, always changing from his sins, always fighting his sins. So sanctification is that process where we are cleansed. It's a process which takes time. The next point is he practices charity. 1 John 3 verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what we're hearing here is, as Christians, we shouldn't love just by word, saying, I love my brother. But we should give also. We should give to those who lack, give to those who need. This world, we have this tendency of saying mine, and we don't like giving those who are in need. And there are those who give for personal gain or for public eyes and whatever. But the issue is, as Christians, we should be willing to help our brothers. We should be willing to assist our brothers who are lost, who are poor in our churches. We should be willing to help them to get their daily needs, their food, their meals. This is another way God provides for his people, through other people. He gives us so we can also give other people. So a true Christian, he has that heart of wanting to give to others. He has that heart of wanting to share with others, and that heart of wanting to also make sure that his fellow brother is satisfied in terms of his daily needs. So as Christians, we should be giving people, and have a giving heart. The next point is, a true Christian cannot be overcome by false prophets and false teachers and false doctrines. 1 John 4 verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the truth, the spirit of the truth, and the spirit of error. So basically what he's saying is, as Christians, we have overcome the world. We have overcome the devil. So all of the false doctrines, false teachings, false teachers, and false prophets, we are able to identify them because we test these things. And we examine these things by the scripture. And the scripture guides us to see that these are false and these are lies. And another way to see that is, whenever they speak, these false prophets and false teachers, the world acknowledges them. The world applauds them because they are teaching things which are of the world. But we as Christians, when we speak, they cannot accept it because it's not of them, and they don't have the spirit to comprehend these things which are of God. So we should realize that we have been given the Spirit and the Bible to help us test every spirit, test every doctrine, test every philosophy of the world, so that we see that which is of God and which is not. Therefore, we can identify false teachers. Therefore, we cannot be led astray by false teachers. That's a very, very great blessing and grace which God has given us, to identify these false teachers. And many of them are in the world. Our next point is, a true Christian loves God. A true Christian loves God. 1 John 4 verse 19. We love him because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So many people say that I love God. So many people walk around saying that I cherish God, I admire God, or I love God. So many religions say that they love God. But we see that these people, the way they live, they hate their brother. And how do you see this hate? We see this hate in men raping women. We see this hate in men sexualizing women. And we see this hate in women dressing immodestly, tempting other men, tempting other fellow brothers in Christ. That's hatred. We might not say this a lot in the church, but that is hatred. When you as a woman dress immodestly and post half-naked pictures on social media, you hate your brother because you're causing your brother to stumble. You as a brother, if you are forcing a fellow woman, or if you're a father forcing your daughter or your son to dress in a way that causes others to stumble, you hate God because you hate your brother. So basically it's saying the way we treat our fellow brothers is how we think about God, or is how we feel about God. So a true Christian loves God by loving others, which means that as a Christian, we are identified by love for others and for God. So the way we treat others is the way we feel about God. So we should be examining ourselves to make sure that we cherish our brothers. Do we dress in a way that doesn't cause our brothers to stumble? Do we follow accounts that doesn't cause ourselves to stumble? Do we encourage our fellow sisters to do things that don't encourage them to stumble and us also to stumble? That's how we show love. By loving them and telling them the truth. That's also a sign of love to our brothers, telling them the truth when they're wrong. And if you are a person who's being corrected, like the Bible says, be slow to speak and slow to anger. Listen carefully. This instruction might be very helpful for you in your process of sanctification. So we show this love by helping each other, encouraging each other, and correcting each other. The next point is a true Christian has the right view of Christ as being God in the flesh and Christ the Messiah. So a true Christian acknowledges that Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. As John 1 verse 1 verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So a true Christian acknowledges that Jesus Christ is God. I was reading, a friend sent me a picture just a few minutes ago of the Trinity analogy diagram, and this person had changed the part which says Jesus Christ is God, and it changed the part where he says God the Father is not God the Holy Spirit, and said God the Holy Spirit is God the Father, and God the Father is not God Jesus Christ, God the Son. And he said God is not Jesus Christ. So basically he was denying the deity of Christ, and this person calls himself a Christian. So basically they're saying they're denying God. And Jesus Christ says, you cannot go to the Father except through me. So a true Christian acknowledges Christ as God and acknowledges Christ as being God. The next point is Trinitarianism. A true Christian is Trinitarian, which means that we believe that God is one and in three persons, who are co-equal and co-eternal. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. That is already identified from our previous verse. It says, the Word was with God and the Word became flesh, which means that we have the Father, the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So God is three persons in one. If you know the hymn called Holy, 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 Merciful and Mighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. So a true Christian believes in the Trinity. A true person believes in Trinitarianism. He does not deny the deity of Christ. There are other false Christians who are teaching a false Trinity, like modalism, T.D. Jakes and Mike Todd. They teach modalism, that God is one person who changes forms, like water, solid, liquid, gas, or a clover leaf. That's modalism, and that is not biblical Trinitarianism. That is actually a heresy, which is very, very dangerous to the church. And these people are teaching this. And I had to mention them out so people know that these teachers are falsely teaching people a false Trinity. So a true Christian believes in the true Trinity, which is written here, for there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7. The last and the tenth one is: a true Christian is diligent in reading the Word, attending church, and taking the Lord's Supper and praying. These are things that we don't want to be told, or we need not to be told, because as Christians, these are things which should be natural for us. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. Acts 2:42. When the apostles were evangelizing, when they left, these people continued in prayer, in fellowship, and in breaking bread. And you understand, these are the things that show us as Christians to be united, to be one, to be loving, as the Word says. We should be people who read the Bible, not just a Bible verse every morning. People who sit down and say, today I'm reading from the book of Matthew 1. What does it say? Matthew 1, all of it. I read down what I've written. Tomorrow I'm reading Matthew 2. We go down stage by stage until you read the Bible and understand and meditate on it. I'm not saying reading a Bible verse every morning is bad, no. But I'm saying, if we were to ask a lot of people who've read their Bibles today in the morning, you realize that they have forgotten what they read. Why? Because they just do that as a form of ticking a box that they've done something. That's not what we want to do. We want a heartfelt desire for the Word. We want a heartfelt desire for the church. People who don't get bored in church, who are loving going to church, people who cannot wait for Sunday. We want a heartfelt desire for the Lord's Supper, because the Christ instructed us to have the Lord's Supper as a way of remembering Him every day, every time we have the Lord's Supper. And also prayer. Prayer is acknowledging God that I cannot do it, and God, I know You can, so please take control and let Your will be done, just as the Lord Christ has taught us. So a true Christian, he admires the church, he admires the Word, and he is very diligent in taking the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Supper. So if you have felt convicted by the Holy Spirit, it is wise to surrender again to God. Humble yourselves and agree. You probably are a nominal Christian or a baby in Christ. Repent and you put your unreserved trust in Christ and His finished work on the Calvary for you. Now, I would like also to go next into the signs of a false Christian. We are talking about the signs of a true Christian, the signs of a true believer. But there are signs that show that people are not true Christians. And I'll start by this one. God is a genie to people, and people rob Him to get something from Him. These are people who are false Christians. People who see God as a genie. The prosperity gospel does that to people. People walk around only talking about God when they need something, only going to God when they want something, but the rest of the time they are not in fellowship with God. They are not led by the Spirit. They only go there when they want money, healing, or when they want fame, popularity, and attention. Or people who post about God only for attention and popularity. These are false Christians. The second ones are those people who only want God for what He can do for them. It's almost the same as the first one. There are people who only go to church because they have heard God can do something for them. God can heal them. God can heal their family member, or God can provide money for them for their healing or for their food or for their whatever. That is not what Christianity is about. That is what a true Christian wants. A true Christian wants fellowship with God and his Father. The Father, God the Father and the Son. That's what a true Christian wants. Another attribute is these people have zero obedience for Christ's Lordship. They go to church on Sunday, but they basically live like they don't even know what Christianity is. Christ says he wants to be the Lord and Savior. People only want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want a Lord, but they don't want the Lord. So people basically want Christ as just someone who took away their sins, and that's all. They don't want to be in obedience to him. They don't want to submit to him. As John MacArthur says, we don't want to be slaves unto Christ. We basically deny being slaves unto Christ and obeying his commands. And he says, if you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, do what my Father says. So these are people who don't do what the Father says. They're in constant sexual sin. I have to say this because this is the most common, especially in our generation. They're in constant sexual sin. These are people who are constantly sexually immoral, be it pornography, be it sex before marriage, be it fornication on social media, and all the likes, pornography and whatever. These are people who are constantly fighting others. These are people who are constantly seeking approval of the world, seeking the world. They have zero obedience to Christ, saying they should deny themselves. They tend to aim to please themselves. The next point is they're only Sunday Christians and devils for the rest of the week. I think this is self-explanatory. These are people who only talk about Christianity on Sunday, but the rest of the week, they don't even want to mention God. They don't even say anything about God. They don't even want to pray. I've seen people who don't even want to pray. I was that person before, who only went to church on Sunday for the sake of going to church on Sunday. I was the person on Sunday who posted Bible verses, and the rest of the week I'm posting things from people like Cardi B and Future, and what, these other people who have nothing to do with Christ. So we can identify a false Christian by that attribute, that they only are Sunday Christians and the rest of the week they're of the devil. These people compromise for approval. These are people who compromise for approval, meaning that some of them know the word, they know Bible verses, they know what the word says. But when the word says that's wrong, they try to compromise. These ones are the ones who call themselves Christian feminists or critical race theorists in the Christian, social activists in the Christian church. I can mention a lot, but these are people who like to mix worldly ideologies and Christianity. And it doesn't come out well because it doesn't make sense. Christian Science, which is nothing to do with Christianity. So they compromise also for approval because they want to be accepted by the world. So these people are the ones whose churches are clubs more than they're a place of fellowship and worship. Even their worship music is just repetitious club music where the lights are dimmed and whatever. It has nothing to do with pleasing God. It has everything to do with attracting people to church, which is the wrong way of getting people into church, because you're getting people into a place where God is not, and it's very, very dangerous. And these are also false Christians. These are not only people who are not Christians. These are people who call themselves Christians but are false Christians. They fear hell. Yes, hell is a bad place. It's a very, very bad place to go. But our reason for going to Christ is not because we fear hell, but it's because we have offended God. That is one of the biggest reasons. we have offended God, and we have come to the grace and the knowledge that, God, we have offended you and we have lost our ways. Can you please bring us back to you? That is the reason why we should be Christians, not because we fear going to hell. If you're a Christian because you fear going to hell, it means that you don't care about God, you don't care about Christ, only care about not going to hell, which is wrong. There is no repentance from sin. Like we were talking about earlier, there is no repentance. It's just people who live in continuous sin. They are self-righteous. These are people who compare themselves by themselves or by others. And they say, I am a good person because Hitler did this. Or I am a good person because this person is sexually immoral and I don't do that. And yet, they don't realize that, one, they're already sinning. It's called pride. Two, they've done things also which are even worse. But to them, they don't see it because they see other things as being bigger than their own sins. They think lying is smaller than people who are sleeping around. So these are called self-righteous people who think they are better than others. I'll read a few verses on warnings to these people. I'll start with Revelation 3:14-16. To the angels of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness of the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. You are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Matthew 7:16-17. You can detect them by the way they act. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you need never confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by examining their fruits. So you can examine their fruits and they show that these are not Christians. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones and of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isaiah 29:13. Their worship is based on merely human rules they have been taught. So basically, it's just a robot type of worship. They just do it because they have seen it being done before, or they have been taught how to do it. It's not out of the heart. Titus 1:16. They claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. These are people who know, and they walk around saying they're Christians, but their actions deny their Christianity. Mark 4:15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word as sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky place, hear the word and act once to receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Everything lukewarm will be cast into hell. I can go more. I have more I could say, but these are just basically verses which show us that these people, they profess to be Christians. They walk around claiming to be Christians, but their actions deny, their works deny it. We are not saved by our works, but our salvation produces works. You understand? When we are saved, we produce a heart desire for obedience, and that heart desire makes us live a different way. We work to prove that we are saved. These people also, they do everything for show. Watch out, don't you do good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. As we continue, as I was saying, talking on these people, you are saved by faith alone, but as false converts shows no works, because they are not of the new creation. James 2 verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so is the faith without deeds is dead. James 2 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. James 2 20, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? So we see that faith without works is dead, because it's basically stagnant. It's basically someone who says they're on the vine, but they're not producing fruit, which does not make sense. James 4 verse 4, you adulterers, do you not recognize that relationship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So here we've seen that there are people who are Christians, and we've talked about how you can identify Christians by the way they would live. They believe in Trinitarianism, they seek fellowship with God, they love their brothers, and all these other kind of things. And we have talked about how people who are not Christians or who claim to be Christians are. So after saying this, I need to clarify that I'm not saying this as a way of saying that these people, they have no chance of going to heaven or anything. No, I'm saying this as a way of trying to encourage us to examine ourselves, trying to encourage us to test ourselves, to see whether we are in the faith. And if we have seen that we have things that we do here, we examine ourselves and we go to the throne of grace and we ask for forgiveness. So a reminder, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. 2 Corinthians 5:11. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus says to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross to follow me. So if you are a person who's seen that they are not saved, you must do this. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Christ. If you're a Christian who is saved, but you've seen that you are still lost in so many things, also deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Christ. He is willing to save. He is willing to forgive, as I've read before. He is willing to receive you as his own, into his own family. So again, we read, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So after reading this, we realize that as Christians, we need to work on our salvation. We need to work on our sanctification. We need to work so that we may glorify God in everything we do. We may glorify God in the ways we live and the things we do, the things we see. So I'll close by reading this verse. 1 John 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. The Bible is written so that we may know that we have eternal life. The Bible is written that we may trust God, trust Christ. As a Christian, I'm saying this to you, that read your Bible and it will assure you that you have eternal life. And set your eyes on Christ, because he is the one who has given you eternal life. And he loves you, he cares for you, and he is willing to forgive you. That's why he came and died for you, even though you don't deserve it, even though we don't deserve it as Christians, he still came and died for us. So let us run to the throne of grace. Let us go there and ask for forgiveness. And as Christians, let us fight the good fight. Let us run our race. The fight is not over. We are not relaxing. We are in a battle. We are fighting constantly. Let us continue to fight as Christians. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I pray that what I've shared will help you. What I've shared will enlighten you, will encourage you, and will also edify you to also share the gospel with others. And if you have any questions, please do feel free to check out our Instagram, our Twitter, and our Facebook. We are there, and we'll be ready to answer your questions. And if you would like to assist us with any form of assistance, be it in terms of resources, books, money, or anything, please also contact us on our Instagram. Thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed day, have a blessed week, and I pray that God guides you, God leads you, and God protects you. Thank you.